Para mi familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find the full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Kaylee Hammack, welcome back. It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. I'm happy to be here.
And thank you for the hat.
You are very welcome.
You gave me a hat, and you know, listen, I'm not bragging here. I'm just stating facts. It's a Continental exclusive. You only brought one.
I only brought one.
It's from your dad's well drilling company.
Yes, Hammack Well and Inc.
And this head is the only head this side of the Atlantic Ocean that has it on.
It's the most special head, so it needed a special hat.
I appreciate it so much. I love a bit of camo. So I was thinking about this. The last time, well, you were over for CTC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before that, it must have been the Long Road.
Yes.
And you and I were walking backstage at the Long Road, and you said to me, guess what I'm doing after this? And I went, what? And you said, I'm going to a bothy in Scotland with no electricity and no running water, and I'm just going to have some time to myself and maybe write some songs.
Yeah, I hiked for a full week in the Isle of Skye.
Good Lord.
And I stayed at bothy houses, and it was just wonderful. I bathed in waterfalls and creeks in the Cairngorms. It was very cold. And the midges, the little tiny flies, they love it when you're naked in the woods in the Highlands. But it was such a fulfilling trip. And it was so cool to be able to come over here. And not just, you know, when I'm in London, for the most part, I'm having to do media, sleep as much as I can, and do the shows. And then I get shipped off to the next place. So having that week of just being completely by myself, going 10, 16 miles a day sometimes, and just being on the edge of a cliffside with a 200-foot drop, and all it is the wind and the sea and me.
And you were completely alone, right? You didn't take anybody with you.
No, I did it myself. And it was wonderful because there are some places as a female hiker, you know you shouldn't go.
Sure.
You know? I felt so safe. The people of Scotland are so kind. And it was really cool to get to sit and kind of dive into what they're listening to on the radio.
Mm.
You know, talk to people at these random pubs. One thing I realized is when I travel alone, I connect the absolute most with people outside of my world.
Right.
And anytime I go with friends, you know, you kind of group together. Y'all are talking at the pub.
Yeah.
You're going on these hikes.
And it's hard for other people to, even if they wanted to talk to you, it's kind of hard if there's a group of you.
Yeah.
You know, to penetrate that.
I had a really special time on the longest run I did. It was 16, 17 miles that day. But as I started out, I was having to follow a map on my phone.
Right.
And I saw these people in front of me. Now, I am carrying a buttload of water and gear and all of this stuff. Because I know it's a long, no merch on that one. But, you know, I'm carrying all this stuff. And I saw these people in Converses with absolutely nothing, no water bottle or anything. And when I passed them, they said, do you know how to get to the black sanded beach? And I said, you can follow me. And I said, you really need to download the map. This is going to be a long hike. But there was something in my heart, and I know this sounds crazy, but if people have felt this and they understand what I mean, there was a feminine voice as I started this hike. I got 1 mile in before I saw them, and something in my gut said, go back and get another bottle of water. And I was like, I've already packed. I know how much water I drink on a hike. I've already packed all of it. But that voice just kept saying, go back and get a bottle of water. So I went back another mile. I added that to the trip. I go and I grab one more bottle of water. And I said, okay, God, if you're telling me something, make this make sense. So I started this hike and I met these people and I told them, every time I get to a curve, I'll wait and make sure that you see me. I'll wave so you can follow my path. And as I was coming back, I noticed that they were sitting beside this cattle chute, this gate. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I just ran a mile back because the sun was going down and I had to get back to my car. And I know they parked where I did. And so I went up to them and she said, my husband is diabetic. He's just, he shakes, you know, the shakes are coming in. And she goes, we don't have any water. We don't have any food. Do you have anything? And thankfully I had that bottle of water and I had food on me. And so I was able to give that to them and we all walked back. But it was such a beautiful moment that my gut, I was able to help someone that needed it. And that's the only thing when you solo hike and you're doing some of these remote locations is if something happens, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You don't know if anyone else is coming down this trail. So that was a really
cool intuition
moment.
Those people should have prepared.
I think they just didn't know.
I mean,
they said it was their first hike.
Sure.
And I looked at their Converses and I was like, I think.
It sure
is. Yeah.
Thank God for Kaylee Hammack.
No. Thank God for intuition.
Yeah. No, it's interesting when those voices pop in your head. And I, you know, it can go too far the other way because sometimes you're like, okay, that now I'm just getting.
Now I'm paranoid.
Yeah, now I'm paranoid. Now I just need to, I don't need to do that. But it's interesting, the ones that you really know that you should listen to. You know, the interesting thing about a month, I think, after we had this conversation at the Long Road, you were going off to do this. A fan on social media posted a picture of like a sign-in book or a guest book or something at a bothy or someplace in Scotland. You had been the last person that had been there before them, and you had written in the book, and he was saying like, "Oh my God, Kaylee Hammack was just here doing this."
I did not see that.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, I knew this was happening," you know. And he was so excited, and everybody, all the fans, got really excited.
What's funny is the owners of that Bothy House, they're coming down to Glasgow, and I'm getting them tickets to go the show I'm performing with Scotty McCreery.
Oh, great!
Because I reached out to him, I wanted to come, and unfortunately, I had shows line up. Well, fortunately, I had shows line up, but I didn't have time to be able to go up to the Isle of Skye before all of this started.
Yeah.
And so I reached back out and I said, you know, change of plans, but if you come to Glasgow or you have friends there, I'd be happy to give you tickets. So they're actually coming down. I kind of became friends with them.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Did you actually write any songs or the beginnings? Does any ideas? I mean, because when you're on a walk like that or just in a place as beautifully stunning as the Isle of Skye, and particularly when you're alone, kind of with your thoughts and all of that, did anything, any ideas spring up? Did the beginnings of anything happen? Did you write any songs?
Very much so. Actually, I mean, the hill, the Celtic influences and the sound of it really came from that trip. I was inspired by it. I think that a lot of my sound kind of came from a little bit of that trip. I came up with a bunch of different ideas, but I'll be completely honest, as corny as it is, and I know it's corny, but I was walking those cliff sides, and I was just going, sing me a song of a lass that is gone. You know, I was just singing the Sky song from Outlander.
Of course.
Yeah, a very American thing to do.
But what a beautiful thing to be able to do. And what a glorious thing that, you know, that what you do for a living and your art takes you to places like that where you actually have the time.
Oh, it's wonderful.
To do things that are important to you in that way and that isn't just like press, show.
I think it's really important that in whatever job you do, if you can find a way to not just survive, if you can find moments to thrive, it makes the harder parts easier.
Yeah.
And for the first few years of my career, I think the only thing I could do was survive. You know, you're just running so much. So I've tried to be intentional and taking time off and really using that. Because also, Rick Rubin talks about it in his book. And he talks, he calls it the vessel. And I call it the well, because my dad is a well driller, of course.
Yes, as my hat. But test to.
The thing is, he says that you must fill the vessel. You must fill your heart. You must go live life. You need to read books. You need to listen to music, not just create. You need to take things in order to give the world something good out of you. And I feel like anytime I have those moments, I am able to give more to the people around me and more to the fans. When I'm able to go off on a cliffside and sing to a couple sheep in the sky, you know, and have those moments, I think it's really vital that we fill the well if we want to take from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Royal Albert Hall. This is fancy pants.
Fancy.
So exciting, the Royal Albert Hall. Have you ever been in it before?
No. So the other day, I walked across Hyde Park. And as someone who grew up reading all of the period drama harlequin romances,
you know,
I was waiting for the ladies in the big dresses and the horses, but instead there were a few e-bikes and dogs, which I'm okay with. But the thing is, I walked over to Royal Albert Hall, and I giddily went up to the door, and I said, "Can I take a tour?" And they said, "The tours are done for today." And I was like, "I'm going to be here in 2 days playing." And the girl went, "Yeah." So I really hope
keeping
I see
your feet
her today
on the ground.
And I say, "Look, I wasn't lying."
Yeah, you see that poster over there?
But I'm so excited. You know, it's I've been told it's the best sounding room in the UK. I mean, some people say in the world. And I'm so excited to sing on it. I feel as if it's the equivalent, and I think it's much bigger, but as far as the sacredness of stepping on that stage, it is the same as what the Ryman feels like and the Grand Ole Opry does to a country singer. It's a sacred place, and I am very, very excited to get on that stage. I just can't wait for sound check.
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like sound check is for me and the show is for the fans.
Yeah, it's a special thing when the room is empty like that, right?
Because
it is, and you'll see this, it's such an enormous room, but because it's round and because there's so much kind of velvet, and it just feels like a really warm, intimate space as well. And you feel that even when it's empty, and it's even more intimate when it's filled with people. So I'm excited for you to experience it as well. Stepping on that stage for the first time at the Grand Ole Opry, what was that like for you?
Oh, surreal. I tell people, I joke about, you know, I tell God that I need him to be the operator. And before I step on a stage like that, I talk to Patsy and I talk to Johnny and Tammy and I talk to Bowie and I talk to the people that inspired me to do it that have passed on. And I just pray that they're with me when I'm on that stage. And it's another thing. If you don't believe, then this sounds crazy. But if you do, you understand. It's as if I feel them there. And so one thing I love to do at the Grand Ole Opry is I love to sing one cover of someone that has passed on to pay homage to them. And there is something about the Grand Ole Opry. But honestly, I do think the Ryman has a different feeling.
Sure.
The Ryman was the show that really felt the most vitally important to me as an artist.
Right,
But the funny thing about the Grand Ole Opry is after it, I remember after having this huge debut, crying myself to sleep that night because I realized that had been such a big goal for me that then my brain, once I accomplished my debut, it said, "Well, now what?
Yeah, where do you go now?"
And I was like, "What do I do?"
The Royal Albert Hall.
Exactly. And now we're here.
You also seem very at home at the Opry because it was, I'm sure it wasn't the last time that you played the Opry, but it was a couple of years ago. I was backstage at the Opry. You were on with Brad Paisley was playing that night. And we were just chit-chatting. I was eating popcorn and drinking lemonade. And you were, you know, just being very at home. And it was all very, I mean, it's kind of that vibe backstage at the Opry anyway, even though it's such an important night for so many people. But you do, we were chatting. Off you went. You sang a song with Brad Paisley. Came back.
Oh, that was the funniest thing, Baylen.
Oh, yeah, because that you said something went wrong in that.
Yeah, well, it didn't go wrong.
Not wrong exactly, but not as you'd planned.
It could have.
Yeah, so what happened?
Right before we go on stage, Brad had asked, you know, "Do you want to sing Whiskey Lullaby?" Because I'd just been on the road with him the weekend before and I'd sang it. And I said, "Of course, I would love to." Right before we get on stage, though, some of the guys in his band were standing behind us, and me and him had done an acoustic version on the road, and we had kind of shortened some spots and lengthened some spots, and I'm about to go on stage. I'm very nervous because also Brad is such a kind person, but he is a perfectionist. Mm. He's an incredible musician. So when I work with people of that caliber of musicianship, I put more pressure on myself because I'm like, I got to stand up. I have to level myself up to your level as much as I can to complement your sound. And the drummer goes, "Oh, I can't wait to play this with y'all. You know, we haven't played it in this way in forever." And I went, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "You know, we'll play like the alternate version tonight." And they're like, "And now to the stage, Brad Paisley." And I'm just standing there going, "What's the different kind? What's the alternate version?" And then he goes, "All right, I'll see you out there." And they go on stage. And I was like, the one place you don't wing it is the Grand Ole Opry. But we did it, and nothing messed up.
No, it sounded great. And I mean, all that was happening, I was standing right there beside you, like I said, just eating popcorn, happy as Larry, having no idea that anything was going on.
Wait, happy as Larry?
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Is happy as Larry a saying?
Yes.
Who's Larry?
Oh, you know, it's just a saying.
Okay, I was wondering if y'all like Larry the Cable Guy. I was like, whoa.
Is that not a saying? See, sometimes I forget if things are sayings in the UK or things are sayings in America. Is that a UK saying? UK saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your music, Bed of Roses. It was earlier this year this came out, and congratulations on it. What a wonderful thing it is. How long were you working on this?
Oh, man. I mean, it's taken 5 years since the first album.
Wow. Oh, yeah,
yes,
I guess.
Because the first album came out in 2020, and kind of figuring out what I wanted to say with this next album took me a bit because I just turned 31. And so really this entire album is 11 years of me growing and transitioning into who I am as a person and finding myself along the way. But it's all the relationships that have taught me lessons. It's all the good relationships and the bad ones. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely more of a heartbreak album, I think. It more so stays in a more sad song centric area.
Right.
But the cool thing about it was I get to write an album that is all of the past relationships that I have. But at the exact same time, I wrote a romance novel.
I was going to ask you about this, like a companion novel.
Yeah, so it's a companion piece. And both of them, the album and the book, is named Bed of Roses. The physical copy of the book is coming out June 3rd.
Okay.
But it's already an ebook, an audible, or audiobook, if you like that.
Right.
The thing is, being able to write a sad album that really encapsulates the lessons that I've learned. And then being able to go, okay, if you listen to this album from top to bottom, you get my story.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the album from bottom to top in reverse order, you get the protagonist's story in the book. And being able to give people a happily ever after. And also, for the first time in my life, experiencing good love as I'm writing a romance novel and being able to base the main love interest off of one man that treats me well. It was just a beautiful kind of closing, I guess, of the Bed of Roses artwork, I guess. So I'm very excited for it. I hope people like it.
I'm excited for the novel. I mean, we love the album. I'm excited for the novel. You mentioned earlier, like, that you know, Harlequin romance novels and all that. Have romance novels always been a thing for you?
Yes. I think that in a world where you're always, I don't know, as a young woman, I always kind of felt this pressure to find your person, you know, find a
Do you think there's one person? There can't just be one person, though,
oh,
right?
Oh, I just had this conversation with my boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
We're trying to figure out, you know, because he is not as spiritual as me.
Right.
So he goes, well, who made it? Soulmates then? And I'm like, the Lord Jesus. No, but with that, you know, I really don't know. When I was a young girl, I thought that everyone had a soulmate and there was someone that was made perfectly for us.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more people I meet, I wonder how many soulmates we really
have. Yeah, because, I mean, I believe in, you know, I think probably multiple ones, right? Because if you only have one, like, what are the chances that, you know, that they work just down the hall or that they live just down the street or, you know, I don't know. I mean,
who knows?
I like the idea for sure, but
yeah, I like the concept.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
So what did you and your boyfriend decide?
Well, he doesn't know if soulmates exist.
Okay.
And the funniest thing is the next day, I was writing a song and the line I was writing was about magnolias. And then he sent me a picture of a magnolia tree as he was on a run. And he said, this just made me think of you. They smell so good. Because I love flowers. I'm obsessed with everything.
Yeah, you were posting loads on your walk in Hyde Park I saw on social media.
Oh, someone asked me, what was your favorite part of the day? And I was like, is it bad if I said feeding pigeons, like right outside of Hyde Park where I could legally?
I mean, I guess if you change it to like ducks, that romanticizes it a bit. Pigeons.
Well, I couldn't feed them.
Okay. All
so right. They said, don't feed the ducks and swans. So,
but feed the pigeons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost said the saying I can't say on the radio.
That's
almost
fine. We can edit it out.
No.
People have jobs, you know. It's fine. Any time to see? I know you walked through Hyde Park. You saw some. You fed the pigeons. You saw some flowers. you're going up to Glasgow and you're doing loads of other things. But do you have more time to kind of? Because you know this place now pretty well, I'd imagine.
I have one day off in London, and
okay.
I've never really had a day off in London
right.
that I wasn't traveling or doing something. So I'm just going to wander around. I kind of want to go see Camden Market if I can.
Yeah.
There was a place I was told of over dinner last night in a very noisy place. Okay. And I think it was called Kew Gardens.
Is that Kew Gardens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I said that correctly.
Yeah,
but
K-E-W, Kew.
Perfect. But everyone said that's where you need to go.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're
into flowers and all that,
yes,
for sure go there.
I saw Kensington Palace.
Great.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I just love old cathedrals. I like pigeons.
Right.
I like flowers.
Yep.
And I like nice buildings.
We got you covered.
And sometimes people.
You're in the right place. You are in the right place. I can't wait to see you on stage. I started to say the Grand Ole Opry.
It's y'all's Grand Ole Opry.
It is our Grand Ole Opry at the Royal Albert Hall. What do we expect from your set?
Okay. I was in my room practicing till like 1 a.m. this morning because I try to do this thing everywhere I go where I make specifically a medley. So
okay.
In case you come early, say you are a Molly Tuttle or an Eric Church fan,
yeah,
but you come early to get the seat or get the spot and
yeah,
you're going, who is this girl and what is her
uh-huh
music? I love to be able to play my original music, but also mix in some songs that they may know, because the main goal as an opening act is sharing your music, but also getting people ready for the headliner,
yes,
getting people excited.
Yes.
And so I was doing a medley of, I'm going to see if it works, if I have time to do the whole medley in the show. I was timing it out as I was playing it. But I'm doing a medley of Jolene into Kylie Minogue, into David Bowie, into Kate Bush.
Ooh.
Because Bowie and Kate Bush are two of my biggest influences.
Yeah.
So I had to do it.
Which Kylie song?
La, la, la.
Okay.
Look. La, 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 la,
Pete, who
la,
does sessions, freaking out.
It just felt like the most popular one, and maybe I'm wrong.
Do you
there,
want me? Do you want me to come out and do the dance?
Do you want to?
I absolutely would.
Okay.
Great. Sorted. if you're coming to Highways, get there early. It's going to be special. Kaylee Hammack, it's a joy. Thank you so much for the hat.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I genuinely like it. I can't wait to introduce you tonight on stage at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, I can't wait. I don't know what you're going to say.
Me neither, but I'm just going to go work on my dance right now. I'll see you there.
Okay, good.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.